You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Wednesday, October 19, 2022. Keep it coming, love. Part 2. Permian crude leads growth, but will gas processing capacity keep up? Published by Sheetal Nasta. Permian crude oil production has climbed about 30% since the lows of 2020 to about 5.2 million barrels per day this summer and helped keep crude oil and gasoline prices in check as market balances tighten. With that has come a lot of gross gas, which surged by over 40% to 21.3 BCF per day on average this summer, up from the 2020 low of just under 15 BCF per day. If unconstrained by infrastructure, RBN expects that to grow another 30%, or more than 6 BCF per day, in the next 3 years, but only if there is adequate midstream capacity, everything from gathering lines to processing plants and, ultimately, gas and liquids transportation lines to deliver the products to consuming markets on the Gulf Coast. While there's been a significant midstream build-out over the past 2 years, and more expansions are in the works, there are major outstanding questions about whether it will get built in time and in the right places to prevent prolonged bottlenecks. In today's RBN blog, we continue our series focusing this time on upcoming expansions and how total processing capacity stacks up against RBN's mid-case production outlook over the next several years. In part one of this short series, we discuss the resiliency in Permian crude oil production post-2020 compared with other crude-focused basins and the frenzied midstream development that has facilitated it. Unlike other crude-focused basins, oil output in the Permian has not only bounced back from COVID-related setbacks but has surpassed pre-pandemic levels and set new records in many months over the past year. In fact, Permian production, which has climbed by more than 700,000 barrels per day since 2020 and was sitting at a record 5.3 million barrels per day in August, was almost single-handedly responsible for driving U.S. crude production back up to 12 million barrels per day in recent months after it had flailed around 10 to 11 million barrels per day for much of 2020 to 2021. That incremental crude oil production came with generous amounts of associated gas. Gas production was particularly resilient due to higher gas-to-oil ratios, or GORs, see Don't Stop Me Now. Gross gas volumes in the Permian are now at about 22 BCF per day, up from 19.5 BCF per day a year ago, 16.9 BCF per day in 2020, and an average of 11.5 BCF per day just 4 years ago, in 2018. That growth couldn't have happened without a rapid build-out of new gas gathering, processing and takeaway capacity, and GL takeaway capacity too. Permian processing capacity, the plants required to remove natural gas liquids and other impurities from the product stream, see our Good to Be a Gas Processor series, before it can access long-haul gas pipelines, stood at around 23.3 BCF per day at the end of the third quarter and will reach 24.5 BCF per day by the end of this year, with more than half of that added since the start of 2018. You might want to take a look at Figure 1 in today's blog on the website, which plots gas processing capacity additions in the Permian from the beginning of 2018 through 2024, by subbasin, New Mexico, Midland, and Delaware. The accompanying map illustrates the distribution of these capacity additions. The darker shaded circles in the map mark the location of announced expansions due for completion over the next 2 years, which in some cases reflect new units at existing facilities. Looking at operational capacity, you can see that the bulk of the additions occurred in the 2018 to 2020 period. Development slowed dramatically in 2020-21 with midstreamers adding a relatively meager 2.2 BCF per day since beginning of 2020. Of the total 24.5 BCF per day of capacity that will be added by the end of 2022, nearly 11.1 BCF per day is situated on the Texas side of the Permian's Delaware Basin, another 6.6 BCF per day or so in the Midland Basin, another 4.3 BCF per day on the New Mexico side of the Delaware, and the remaining 2.5 BCF per day in the Central Basin. Taken all together across the four areas, with gross gas production at about 22 BCF per day and total processing capacity headed for 24.5 BCF per day before the year's up, you might think producers are in good shape, at least for now. However, as we noted in part one, that's not necessarily the case. Not all processing capacity is equal. What matters is that it's available where the gas is being produced and that the pipeline capacity is there to move the gas to a plant. And pockets of constraints have popped up frequently in the highest growth production areas and continue to do so. Moreover, assuming that West Texas Intermediate, where WTI averages pretty close to the current forward curve over the next few years and that production is unencumbered by midstream constraints, RBN's mid-case scenario projects gross gas volumes will grow by almost 5 BCF per day to reach nearly 27 BCF per day by the end of 2024, a gain of about 22% over that period, with nearly all of that split between the West Texas's Delaware and Midland basins. More processing capacity is on the way, but will it be enough to prevent prolonged constraints? Next, we turn our attention to the longer-term trajectory of production versus processing capacity in the Permian, starting with a roundup of planned expansions by sub-basin. We track these expansions in RBN's weekly Nat Gas Permian report. Our list of processing plant expansions shows that midstreamers will add about 4.3 BCF per day of capacity from the fourth quarter of 2022 through the end of 2024. The biggest capacity gains over the next couple of years will happen in the Permian's Midland Basin, so we'll start there. Processing capacity in the Midland is primarily concentrated in West Texas's Martin, Glasscock, and Midland counties and will total about 6.6 BCF per day by the end of this year, with more than half of that added in just the last 4 years. That includes the first 200 million cubic feet per day train and nitrogen rejection unit, or NRU, at Pinnacle Midstream's Dos Picos plant complex in southeastern Midland County, which entered service in late September, as well as another 675 million cubic feet per day that's due for completion in the fourth quarter, Targa's 275 million cubic feet per day Legacy A plant near the Midland-Upton County border, and Link's 200 million cubic feet per day Phantom plant, which is the Thunderbird plant being relocated from central Oklahoma to Midland County and on schedule to begin service November 1st, and the first 200 million cubic feet per day of WTG's Red Lake plant in Martin County, also due in November. In addition to these fourth-quarter expansions, midstreamers are slated to add another 1.55 BCF per day in the 2023-24 period. First up will be Enterprise Products Partners Plant 6 in Midland County, which is due to add 300 million cubic feet per day in the first quarter of 2023. Also in the first half of 2023, WTG is targeting completion of its second 200 million cubic feet per day train at Red Lake. Then, Targa expects to complete the 275 million cubic feet per day Legacy 2 unit in the second quarter of 2023, followed by its 275 million cubic feet per day Midway plant in the third quarter of 2023. Finally, Pinnacle expects to add a second 200 million cubic feet per day train by the end of the first quarter of 2024. Enterprise recently sanctioned Plant 7 at its Midland County facility, which would bring on another 300 million cubic feet per day by the end of the first quarter of 2024. All told, these expansions will bring total Midland Basin processing capacity up to a little over 8 BCF per day in 2024. The bulk of the remaining capacity additions over the next couple of years are planned within West Texas's Delaware region, not surprising given where the concentration of drilling activity and production growth has been, and will continue to be. In Delaware, Texas, processing capacity has more than doubled since the start of 2018 and will total 11.1 BCF per day by the end of 2022, with the bulk of that concentrated in Loving, Reeves, and Culberson counties. That includes two plants that are due this quarter, Energy Transfer's Gray Wolf plant and MPLX's second 200 million cubic feet per day unit at its Tornado plant in Loving County. Beyond this year, there's about 1.6 BCF per day or so under construction or planned for the 2023 to 2024 time frame. That includes two trains that are due in the first half of 2023, Kinetic's 120 million cubic feet per day Diamond, two in the first quarter, and Energy Transfer's 200 million cubic feet per day Bear plant in the second quarter. The remaining three 2023 additions are slated for completion in the fourth quarter, Targa's 275 million cubic feet per day Greenwood plant, Western Midstream's recently announced 250 million cubic feet per day Mentone 3 addition, and Enterprise's 300 million cubic feet per day Mentone 2. And finally, there are two due in the first half of 2024, a second 200 million cubic feet per day unit at MPLX's Preakness facility, and a third 300 million cubic feet per day unit at Enterprise's Mentone complex. These would bring total processing capacity in the Delaware, Texas to about 12.7 BCF per day. As for the historically quieter New Mexico portion of the Delaware, midstream activity picked up in 2018 and processing capacity there will have just about doubled since then to a little over 4.3 BCF per day by the end of 2022, with most of that having come online in 2018 to 2019. Three plants totaling 630 million cubic feet per day were added in the 2020 to 2021 time frame and the slower pace continued in 2022. Only two plants were due this year: Targa's 230 million cubic feet per day Red Hills Vi, which recently entered service, and Durango's 75 million cubic feet per day Dagger Draw, which we hear is in the process of starting up now. We aren't currently tracking any expansions for the 2023-24 period or beyond in the Delaware, New Mexico, though we've heard that portions of New Mexico are very tight regarding processing capacity and announcements for additional processing are imminent. Not surprisingly, there were no capacity additions in the Central Platform Sub-Basin since 2018, and we haven't seen announcements for future capacity. Across the sub-basins, these expansions would bring Permian processing capacity to right around 27.5 BCF per day total in 2024, compared with our middle-of-the-road projection of gross gas reaching almost 27 BCF per day by then. Sure, there will likely be more processing expansions announced, and there are those who have additional units and compression waiting in the wings. For example, Vaquero Midstream said in a call with RBN last week that the existing 400 million cubic feet per day Camus facility in Delaware, Texas has some capacity that is expected to fill in short order, and that it could quickly ramp up another 200 million cubic feet per day of capacity in 10 to 12 months if the dedicated volumes warrant it. We're told one of Vaquero's largest acreage dedications is with the publicly traded Diamondback Energy. Nevertheless, the shrinking production processing capacity gap doesn't bode well for producers looking to avoid major constraints in their efforts to grow crude oil supply. The problem, as we noted earlier, is that it's not just total capacity that matters, but the ability for gross gas molecules to get from where they are produced to the plants that can process them. So the reality is that the bottlenecks could get even worse in parts of the Permian than the overall basin level math suggests. What does all this mean for the timing of processing constraints, and how bad could it get? In the next part of this series, we'll bring together our projections for total processing capacity and gross gas production to address those burning questions. Keep It Come and Love was written by Harry Wayne Casey, or KC, and Richard Finch. It appears as the fourth song on side 2 of KC and the Sunshine Band's fourth studio album, Part 3. The infectious disco dance rhythms and double entendre lyrics of the song made it the perfect follow-up to the group's previous hits That's the Way I Like It and Shake Shake Shake, Shake Your Booty. Released as a single in May 1977, the song went to number 1 on the Billboard Hot Soul and number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100 singles charts. Personnel on the record were Harry Wayne Casey, KC, on lead vocals and keyboards, Richard Finch on bass, drums, and percussion, Jerome Smith on guitar, Robert Johnson on drums, Fermin Guardisolo, Olive C. Brown on percussion, Ken Falk, Vinny Tano on trumpet, Mike Lewis on tenor sax, Whit Sitterner on baritone sax, and Beverly Champion, Margaret Reynolds, Jeanette Williams on backing vocals. Part 3 was recorded during 1976 and produced by H.W. Casey, KC, and Richard Finch. Released in October 1976, it went to number 5 on the Billboard R&B chart and number 13 on the Billboard Top 200 Albums chart. It has been certified platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. 5 singles were released from the LP. KC and the Sunshine Band was formed in 1973 in Hialeah, Florida, by H.W. Casey, KC, and Richard Finch. The group had great success with the songwriting team of Casey and Finch, scoring several hits in the 1970s, starting with Get Down Tonight, which went to number 1 on the Billboard Hot 100 singles chart in August 1975. In 1981, the partnership of Casey and Finch came to an end. Casey retired the band in 1985, but a revival of interest in disco music in 1991 brought him out of retirement, resulting in a reformation of the band that included KC and original members Fermin Guardisolo and Beverly Champion. They have released 15 studio albums, 2 live albums, 12 compilation albums, and 49 singles. 30 members have passed through the group since its inception. KC and the Sunshine Band continue to record and tour and are currently on the road opening for the B-52s on their farewell tour.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.